Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Have you ever felt the pull to leave what's comfortable and build something of your own? In this episode, I sit down with Gabrielle Mills, founder and president of Sourced, to talk about what inspired her to walk away from a corporate career and take the leap into entrepreneurship. We dive into the visibility shifts that come from being the face of your business, the early mistakes that turned into powerful lessons, and why sometimes the best first steps towards visibility is simply putting yourself out there and doing the thing. It's honest, inspiring, and packed with lessons you won't want to miss. Gabrielle, welcome on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Tori.
Well, I am super excited to learn more about you, have the audience learn about you, and talk about your growth, your business, and how we can tie that all into visibility. So let's start by the big story of what inspired you to leave your corporate job and launch into your business, Sourced.
So I feel like any entrepreneur kind of falls into two categories. Either you find your way into entrepreneurship just by you wanted to try something and then it ends up going better than you expected, or you have a calling. Mm. I was a person that had a calling, and there's a little bit of a backstory of how we ran into our concept and how we built it. But when we decided, and we being me and my business partner, who was also my mom. So there's a fun little nugget
love
there.
That.
When we found our business concept and we were ready to jump in, I know I was a person that couldn't do a corporate gig and a side hustle. Mm. I'm really respect the people that do. I am so passionate. I have to give my full self to what I'm doing. And I was very fortunate to be in a position to where I could get rid of all of my responsibilities, get rid of all my bills, go move into my mom's basement and start Sourced with her. So that's, you know, I did that. It was a big leap. It was a big leap of faith. It was a lot of fear surrounding it, but also a lot of excitement. We just literally started from $0 in the business and grew it from there. Neither one of us had done this before. We just really just jumped out of the plane and hoped that we could build the parachute on the way down.
Well, I love that because I can absolutely relate to that because I'm very similar in the fact that I left my corporate job because I couldn't find anything out there that spoke to me, really felt like was the next step for me. I had this kind of burning desire inside of me to do something more than what I was doing and mm-hmm. felt like I had that capability to do it. And so, you know, again, I was a technician, right? I was a marketer. I had the techniques and the experience of marketing, but I hadn't been a business owner or an entrepreneur. I didn't really know what that was going to be until, you know, taking that full leap. And then, you know, you get to a point and you're like, okay, this is really what I'm meant to do. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It, I only recently became a parent. However, when we started the business 9 years ago, even though I wasn't a parent, I would still make a parallel into this must be like parenthood. Because now that I am a parent, I can say it is, at least in my perspective, because it is the most rewarding, gratifying work in the world, like to be able to build something that you created. The struggles are yours, the decisions are yours. Sometimes that's not a great thing. Sometimes you wish it was somebody else.
Very much like parenting.
But it's hard. It's hard as hell. And there's a lot of moments where you have no idea what you're doing, and there's a lot of sleepless nights, and there's things that you're like, you really regret making that decision that way, and blah, 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 blah. But then it's still the best thing you've ever done. And it's so like, I was just like, this has to be what parenting is like. And it is, I do feel like they do have some parallels between them.
I mean, a lot of times people will say, literally, my business is my baby, right? Like, I
Oh, it
have
is.
grown this thing and it's like my baby. So it's absolutely the same. And
Totally
I
is.
mean, the other thing, too, at least for me at the time, was this gave me the opportunity, because I did have young kids when I started the business, gave me the opportunity to be more present for my family, right? I could take the kids to school, I could pick them up, I could go to the sporting things. And so it's like, I reflect back, like, was this the best decision? Yes, it was the best decision for me, the best decision for my family. And it continues to grow and evolve, even though there are hard days and there are great days. Like, it's always a journey. But yeah, I mean, anyways, we could probably talk about that as our own topic.
Yeah, I could tell that we would really have a good time talking about that over coffee or something.
So let's dive a little bit into the, so you started this business, and what is, tell everyone what it is that you guys do at Sourced.
Sure. So, Sourced is a back office services company. What we didn't mean to do, but what we inevitably did, is start five businesses at the same time. So, one side of our business is fractional. And on that side, we have a full-scale accounting firm. We have a full-scale marketing agency. We do fractional HR and we do fractional administrative support. Most of the time, it looks like VAs, virtual assistants, but it can look like paralegals, client service managers, things like that. So that is for businesses that don't need a full-time person in that position or in a position, or they need multiple people, they need lots of different types of help, but they pay for it fractionally because they're getting the services fractionally. Now, for the clients who are a little bigger, or they have roles in their organization where it truly is a full-time need, we do direct hire talent acquisition placement for them. We serve the small to mid-market companies, and we really just listen to the challenges that they have, and we say, all right, so you've got an accounting need. Usually they come to us and they're like, I need a full-time controller. But we're able to have a conversation and say, okay, well, we can hire you a full-time controller. But have you ever considered fractional accounting? Because this doesn't seem like a full-time role. It seems like you could save a lot of money if you do it fractionally. And they're like, okay, that's great. And they're like, oh, by the way, could you do our website? And we're like, yeah, we've got a marketing agency. We can do your website and we can also hire that other person, the engineer in the job or the project manager in the job. So, there's a lot of ways that we support businesses of lots of different sizes with their back office needs.
I love that. And I want to touch on this a little bit later about how that really helps with the companies that you're working with, how what you do helps with their visibility. But before we get to like the companies that you work with, I want to talk a little bit about your visibility and how that has shifted from the corporate space. Like when you were in your corporate role, I know that you worked for some pretty prestigious companies, and so visibility was something that you naturally had with those companies. How has that differed now as an entrepreneur and a founder for your own company? How has your visibility approach changed?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I had an approach at all for visibility in my corporate life. My background is in marketing and branding, so I understand the value and importance of a brand, whether that be a company brand or a personal brand. That's my trade, if you will. But that is, and while I understand that that's really important, it's completely different in your own business. But I did apply a lot of what I learned to my business when I went out on my own, but it was completely different. In terms of my own personal visibility when I was in corporate, I don't think there really was any, to be honest. I mean, like, I had a LinkedIn page. Did I use it? No. I'm going to date myself here, but recruiters were just looking, starting to use LinkedIn for recruiting. So I would get some messages from recruiters, and I thought it was a scam because that's it wasn't really happening, and I wasn't using LinkedIn at all. So there, beyond that, I mean, I wasn't, there wasn't any
There
visibility.
wasn't a need.
It wasn't, I mean, I'm sure there was a need. I just didn't do anything. But when we started Sourced, that is all you have as a new brand specifically, but also just trying to drive sales for a new company. You have to be visible. Otherwise, you don't have a company. Like you have to be out there in front of people selling your business every single day, or it will not survive. So we had to go through a couple of different seasons of figuring out what that was. We first started, before we even opened our doors, we spent 6 months crafting what our brand is and what it means and what we want people to feel when they, so that be, that's because I came from branding and I'm a nerd about that. So we did have a little bit of idea before we opened our doors what we would look like, but how you get it out there, you have to figure out for your own individual business what's going to work for you. What works for a service business is different than a product business, which is different than a bigger brand to, versus a smaller brand. So it's now I have an approach, but I didn't start that way. And that approach had to be tested and tried. Many different things had to be tried out.
And so talking about different approaches, right? Because visibility looks different to everyone. There's different, like if a company comes to me and says, I need a visibility strategy, it's not going to be like, okay, here's your plan, right? Like I can just cut and paste this. It's very unique depending on the person, the industry, the audience, all of those things. So
Oh yeah.
what is your, like, what do you think is your biggest visibility tactic, or like which visibility lane do you live in, or is your favorite to use?
I think so. All the people that are listening don't know me at all, and we're just getting to know each other, Tori. But I think anybody who listens to me for 4 seconds kind of can know that I don't, there's not a lot I'm afraid of. And if I'm afraid of it, I do it anyway, just because that's how God made me, fortunately and unfortunately for me. So the visibility strategy that I have is now defined, but really in the beginning, it was just get out there, just get out there. And I have a phrase that I use in our with our marketing team that's first started when we were talking about our brand, our personal brand, and how we were going to get out there is done is better than perfect. Sometimes just out there is the best thing that you can do because you can perfect it to high heaven. It will never be perfect. It just will, there will always be something that you can tweak, but it's better that you're just out there. You have, you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take if you're not just out of the office meeting people. And by the way, meeting people doesn't necessarily have to mean networking. It can be online, social media, webinars, going to different events. Like there's lots of different ways to get out there, but you just got to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, when I started my business, doing a marketing agency, looking around me, it was like, well, there's so many out there. What's going to set me apart? And for me, it was podcasting, because back in 2019, there weren't many marketing agencies who were podcast hosts. And so that was my visibility strategy, was to, put my set myself apart, but also to challenge myself too, because I was somebody who wasn't necessarily comfortable with my voice or comfortable with being in front of ca the camera, which I think a lot of people can
Oh yeah.
relate to. So it's like that was a challenge for me, but it was also a way to set myself apart, and not only gave me the opportunity to do networking and meet people and create content, all of those things. So it's like you said, you just got to put yourself out there, and done is better than nothing, right? So I think very similar in that approach.
And as well, Tori, too, that a big hindrance of people starting, whether that's a business or getting themselves out there or doing any kind of marketing or whatever that is, whatever that means to you, whoever's listening, is what is going to be my differentiator? And that's a big question. And it's an important question and one that should be considered, absolutely. But we live in an age where everything's been kind of done. Or if it hasn't been done before, something very similar has been done. There are very few unique ideas anymore because the world is constantly changing. Sometimes it just needs to come from you. Like sometimes the idea is not different at all. Maybe 100,000 people are doing the exact same thing, but somebody needs to hear it from you. Somebody
Absolutely.
needs it from your lens and from your background and your perspective or how you do things. And that's your differentiator. And you didn't even mean to, but you're never going to stumble across that if you don't just start.
Right. Put yourself out there for sure. So let's transition a little bit and talk about like the early days and maybe some mistakes that you feel like you made that now you realize helped you grow your business, or you use those mistakes or missteps, whatever you want to call them, to help other businesses who may have been in the same spot as you.
It's a great question. Oh, sorry. It's a great question. I made so many mistakes, and I still do every day.
We all do.
we all do.
We
I
all
think
do.
we live in a time where that is acceptable to talk about, which is awesome. But sometimes people walk in my office and they're like, "Oh my gosh, the company you guys have been in business 9 years, blah, 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 blah." All of that is wonderful. I love that. It warms my heart and it makes me feel validated for all the work that we've done. But it drives me absolutely bonkers when people think that it was an overnight success, or when I see people online. This is what drives me bonkers. But the other one is just I have to clarify, like, hey, this took a lot of work, so don't be too impressed because there's a lot of mistakes that grew
A lot
this.
of tears behind the scenes.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. What drives me bonkers is people getting online saying in 3 months you can make your first $1 million, blah, blah, blah. That is just not how shit works. It just is not. And if you're of the 1 to 5% where that has happened to you, man, I am so freaking happy for you. I just don't like that that's is setting everyone's expectations up to be that way because it's just not. That's my soapbox on that. You asked me my mistakes, and I said I have many. The first one that, oh God, where do I even start it? There's so many mistakes from those first 3 years. The first one that comes to mind is always business processes, standard operating procedures. We set them in our first 6 months, and then those quickly crumbled when we started getting clients. And we're like, every client's a little bit different. All the needs are different. We didn't really know what we were doing. So we were just kind of doing the needs of whatever our client had. It took us about 2.5 to 3 years to really be like, nope, this doesn't work because we can't police quality. People interpret what we're doing differently. Like our team that services our clients interpreted what we do differently from client to client. It just was chaos everywhere. Not bad chaos, just it wasn't standardized. And so there was a lot of mistakes interwoven in that time period where it was like, and we have to standardize our processes and do it the same way and train off of that. And there's a phrase in the military that I'm going to butcher that's we're in times of crisis, we're going to fall to the level of our training. And that I really took to heart of like, oh, okay, well, we need that baseline. So in times of crisis, we all know what we're doing. So there was a lot of mistakes made to get me to that understanding. And that will be another whole
Whole
topic of
nother
conversation
episode.
for us. Happy to go through all of the horror stories. That was one. And another was I am a very heart-centric person. I really believe the best in people. And I think through the first couple of years, I had to learn how that manifests in business in a way that I don't get screwed over, but I'm also not screwing over other people. That was, again, there's a lot of depth behind the story, the war stories that got me to that. But I think sometimes being a feeler and an empath and somebody that leads with their heart and their emotions, business can be a little bit of a tough ground to navigate sometimes.
There's a phrase that I always use, which is don't mistake my kindness for weakness, because I'm very similar and a heart-centered, very kind, type of person, and I see the best in people. And so sometimes when you're that way, people see that as a weakness. Like if you're more of a quiet person, like maybe you're not as strong or you're not as successful, but I'm like, don't underestimate me.
And there was a lot of people that didn't do things, I don't think intentionally, but I took them badly because I was like, oh, well, they mean this or whatever. And it's like, okay, no, it's just business. And that, not to be like cold, but sometimes things are really just business, and there are lines and there are boundaries. And then there are sometimes that, we would do anything to make sure our client was happy. And then it was like, okay, well, that's not making us very happy. And we're losing money and we're not doing right by ourselves, trying to do right by this, by our client. And while that's good, there is boundaries there. So there's a, again, we can have a whole nother coffee or wine about that.
I know.
But I think if I were to bundle my myriad of mistakes for my first couple of years, it kind of boiled down to those two.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, and I think that's common too, that I mean, obviously common that you're going to have these missteps or mistakes that you learn from, which that's how you learn, that's how you grow. So it's just a matter of reflecting on those and how you move forward that's going to make the difference and help set you up for success. So let's touch just a little bit on, and maybe this is something that you can touch on, but do you ever find or see the clients that you're working with, since we're talking about visibility, the work that you do helps them, like if you're taking care of all the back end stuff, gives them the ability to be more visible in their business, or do you feel like they still have struggles, for visibility?
Absolutely the first option that what we're doing helps them with more visibility. It is in either an active way or a passive way. So on our marketing side, that is a very active way that we're making them more visible because that is literally our main objective is to make them more visible to potential prospects or communicate their brand or bring them, make them alive on social media, make them alive. What's that phrase I'm looking for? Whatever. Bring them to life on social, creating videos, things like that is very, very active. Accounting doesn't do any of that. Admin support doesn't do any of that. HR doesn't do any of that. But it does free them up to do more of the things that they need to do on the front of house level.
Yeah, especially if they're a smaller business and they're doing all the things, right? They don't have the ability to focus on putting their brand out there, putting themselves out there, doing the networking, having, meetings and calls because they're too, involved with the behind the scenes accounting or processes and that sort of thing. So, definitely from my perspective, what you do gives them the ability to be visible. May not be the technique, right, or the source, unless you go on the marketing side of things, but it does free up that time for them to focus on that as a priority in their business.
Yeah, absolutely. Ex an example of that is myself. So there was a time in my business that I wasn't on any. So I'm using social as an example because that's the easiest way to be visible these days, right? So there's definitely I don't want to pigeonhole the visibility conversation just into social media because it's not.
It's not,
But in the beginning, I was not on social media a lot because for me personally, now with my business is a different story, but for me personally, and people will buy your business because of you initially. Because I was busting my butt in the business, right? I was at every networking meeting. I was doing operations stuff. I was doing all sorts of things. And I ain't got time to do my social. I should have prioritized it, but I didn't because I was doing a bunch of things. Now I have a team of people that have taken a lot of that off my plate. So I actually get to do that stuff, which I enjoy. As a marketer, I enjoy doing my own social media. So I don't outsource it to my team, even though some days I'm like, why didn't I outsource this to them? But it affords me the ability to be more visible now because I have gotten rid of some of the other stuff that weighed me down. So in that way, I'm very much a example of how this is to our clients.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was on a call earlier this week and we were talking very similarly about that and how, oh, I know I need to be on social. I know I need to be more visible, but I haven't set aside the time. And so it was like an in-depth conversation about like prioritizing and systematizing and strategizing how to put your own visibility strategy together, right? So that you can be consistent, because that's one of the biggest things in visibility is consistency. You can show up, you know, on social, you know, once a week or once a month or, you know, all these things, but if you don't have a consistent pattern, it's not gonna give you consistent visibility. So
Right.
it's all about, you know, setting aside and prioritizing, which, you know, as entrepreneurs we're guilty of, but we need to take our own advice, right? And put ourselves on that path.
Absolutely, we have to take our own advice, but also it's got to match your season too.
True.
Like I want to make sure that people give themselves grace to we're all just doing the best that we can. And if it's not your season to focus on that stuff, it's because your season requires you to look elsewhere, and that is okay too. It's not forgetting that it's important and that you do need to circle back around to it, or you need to, if it's really important, prioritize the time. But if other things have to take priority because they're just bigger at the moment, because as entrepreneurs, that is happens often. Go easy on yourself. You're doing the best you can.
Give yourself a little grace. Well, it has been amazing talking to you. Like we've said over and over, we can have sidebar conversations. We can go into a whole other interview. I just appreciate you coming on, sharing your insight, your success stories, your journey. And I really feel like, you know, people can take some golden nuggets from this and apply it to what they're doing in their own business. And so just wanted to say thank you for being a guest here today.
Well, and thanks for having me, Tori. It was awesome getting to talk to you about it.
Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best place that they can reach out?
So, I am thankfully, because I have a great team that allows me to do it, most active on LinkedIn and Instagram. So you can find my company at getsourced.com, GETSORUCED.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Gabrielle J. Mills, or Instagram, Gabrielle.speaks.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. It's been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thanks, Tori.